from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, Chiefs fans. It's a brand new week, and we have another great lineup for you. Don't miss, in a couple of days, you're going to hear from Matt Miller. We sat down for half an hour and have gone through a bunch of stuff about this draft class, what the future of the Chiefs might hold, so make sure you're tuned in for that. I'm Ryan Tracy, Chiefs analyst over at ChiefsDigest.com, as well as the founder of Rogue Analytics.
And Ryan did geek out with Matt Miller, so just be looking for that as well. And Matt was telling him about a specific Georgia player that he thinks would be a good fit for the Chiefs offensive line, which I'm sure Ryan really enjoyed. I'm Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com, and I am a staff writer for Arrowhead Addict. And thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Hope you guys are enjoying the off season for the Chiefs at this point.
Yeah, you know, we're coming from you to you from our desperate studios, and mine's been snow covered all day, and it's a late evening or early evening, I guess, on Sunday. So we've seen the AFC Championship come to completion, and man, there's a lot to talk about there, and a lot to talk about probably tomorrow about how that relates to what the Chiefs can do. But you saw me pick the Jacksonville Jaguars last week to win. And man, I was close.
Close doesn't only works in horseshoes and hand grenades, and snow covered for you. And I went and rode my bike almost 10 miles today. So, 60 degrees here. So,
Well, shout out to Justin Houston. I didn't realize that we shared a birthday literally until the Chiefs tweeted it out on Sunday. So, hope he had a good day. Hope you're listening, Justin, like, you know, all the Chiefs players.
And if you are, you're welcome to come on. Just hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, just let us know. obviously, a few years older than him, but I think
just a few.
Yeah, right. But what it says to me is it really brings home just how unique he is. When you read, especially postseason looks, PFF, a number of other entities that. Justin Houston is still a premier athlete in this league, and it just reiterates to me that he can still be a guy that anchors an entire side of your defensive front, and they just got to shore up the other side. What you saw tonight playing against the Pats was a play that sealed that game that went the opposite side of where Justin Houston plays. And after having played strong and being one of the top defenses in a number of different categories, one overall, but I think that the Jaguars just fell short on a couple of plays against those Patriots that, quite frankly, the Chiefs have the advantage against. So it just feels like even much more of an opportunity lost to me.
Well, the Jaguars fell short, but – you know, let's be fair here. If Bortles gets them into scoring range and they get a touchdown with anything more than 30 seconds left, are you really thinking that that game's over and the New England can't come back and win?
I don't know. Maybe they had struggled to that point. I know the last 4 minutes of any football game pretty much belong to Tom Brady, but, you know, we've seen what the Chiefs have been able to do to them over the Andy Reid regime. And for the most part, granted, neither were in the postseason, but you go into the fourth quarter, you got to have, you know, a 15, 17, 20-point lead on those Patriots if you're going to be safe. Yep.
Yeah, and you have to have a QB that is going to be able to make plays, and that is not Blake Bortles, unfortunately, for Jaguars fans. But what a great season for them regardless. You know, nobody expected them. Or I guess I can't say nobody, but I would say most people didn't expect them to be in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, and I have to agree. It looks to me like they are a team that isn't terribly far away. In fact, that gives me an idea. Folks, tomorrow we will have a discussion about what this means for Alex Smith in particular and just how important he might be to their plans. But when you look at that team overall, yes, there's going to be a lot put at Bortles' feet, but they look like they're built – correctly, that they can withstand this loss and any other number of losses and be a team that now may be a power in the AFC for a bit because simply they can play defense and they can run the ball. The quarterback can put you over the top, but those two things will make you a good team year in and year out.
Absolutely, and I think they are going to be a team that's going to be a contender year in and year out, especially if they get it figured out at the QB position.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. Watching that game, I felt like they did, for the most part, the things that they needed to do. Obviously, the Patriots knew what they were getting into, were able to focus on Fournette. I think he finished at like 3.2 yards a carry. Not horrendous, but definitely not what he's done this season. And it's another example of the Belichick philosophy of taking away what you do best and making you adapt. Obviously, it worked for him in the end, but were you confident in it watching that game?
No. No, and it's going to be interesting to see who ends up coming out of the NFC Championship game because I just don't know. Neither of those defenses are on the same level as the Jaguars, and I think that's going to make it very hard in the Super Bowl for either of those teams to have much of a chance. But, you know, that's 2 weeks away, and we'll see who's going to be playing for that Super Bowl title shortly.
Yeah, and this is a Super Bowl that I can't help but feel like should have had some red and gold in it. It's just watching these teams as they play these games out. It's a little bit tough, especially for a season in Kansas City that was so Jekyll and Hyde that you saw both extremes of what this franchise can be right now with this particular roster. But am I off base, or do you feel like they could have competed? Had their best game showed up, they could have competed with these teams.
Oh, I think they could have competed, but, you know, like you said, they have to have their best game. And unfortunately for Kansas City this year, in most of the times where they needed their best game, they didn't ever have it.
And that's the problem. And what the offseason brings at this point for the Chiefs, a lot of things getting going for draft season. Like I said, we're going to talk to Matt Miller. The Senior Bowl is this week. So if you're new to the process of getting ready to make your team better, what happened Saturday and Sunday is important, both the playoff games as well as the early All-Star games, the NFLPA game and the Shrine game. The Shrine game is for players that are lesser known, and several of them, and you see it every year, get elevated and are then invited to the Senior Bowl after the fact. And so this week becomes a guy that just went out and balled out in the Shrine game, made himself a little bit of a name, now has to go down to Mobile, practice all week with his what are the cream of the draft class in terms of the seniors. Underclassmen obviously are left out of that scenario. But then you get another week to be coached, to make an impact, and show something at the Senior Bowl. And the Chiefs in particular are a team that pays attention to that. So there are a number of positions that if you have an opportunity to watch or record the practices for the Senior Bowl, they're televised on the NFL Network, can give you some insight. And then obviously the game because – man, we have a ton of free agents to talk about, and their replacements are probably going to be playing this next weekend in Mobile. And the guy that tops my list that showed just how remarkably underrated his necessity for the offense was Albert Wilson. Obviously, a guy with speed, a guy that plays the third wide receiver role, you know, as long as everybody's healthy. And I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to see players that might be able to take over that role as a young guy this weekend. Do you think Albert Wilson comes back, or should I really be focusing in on these wide receivers?
I'd be focusing on the wide receivers.
Okay.
I just don't I don't think he's going to be there for the value. That's really what it comes down to for me. I don't think he's going to take a hometown discount. And I wouldn't expect him to take a hometown discount, but I think he's going to shop himself out of the market for Kansas City because I think he's probably looking at 4 or 5 or 6 million a year is what he wants. Now, whether or not some team will pay him that, hard to say. But you know, he had that big game for Patrick Mahomes that really helped him. So we'll see.
Well, and let me just tell you now, folks, don't get angry. I know people are going to start with his flaws, and he does have them. We've talked about him on this show ad nauseum. And you're going to get upset about when you start seeing some of these numbers that he's asking for. But remember, this guy is an undrafted free agent. He's made peanuts in the league to this point. What is it? I think he was like 1.7 this last year. I mean, this is a guy in terms of his production for this team is probably worth that 5 or 6. And so for him to ask for it, this is probably the only major contract he's going to get. And I can't hold it against it. I'm going to caution you to try and give him a break about it, because I think this is a chance in a business that is short-lived that he has to go make his money now. And I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be in Kansas City, but in reality, what do you think his market is across the league?
Well, and that's the key question. I don't know what his market is across the league. Is it something that teams are going to be wanting to pay? I don't know. I really can't see Kansas City. The only way Kansas City keeps him is if he takes considerably less money than he would get on the free agent market. But I don't think that they get a deal done with him. I think he wants to hit free agency. So I would expect that, you know, maybe the only way that they get him is if he finds out that his market isn't what he was hoping it would be. And then they're able to come back and get him, you know, 2 weeks into free agency where he finds out his market really isn't the 4 or 5 million he was hoping. Maybe it's only 2.5.
Maybe. And, you know, I got a sinking feeling, because when I look at rosters around the league, including the team that's representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, you look at them losing both Slater and Amendola, guys that are over 30 years old and made right about the same salary that Albert made this season. And I could see them looking for a guy with more speed who can play in the slot, can do some of the things that Welker did back in the day, can be a compliment. I would not be surprised to see New England go after him.
Well, if he does,
right?
If he does, he does. You know what he can't do.
Right.
I don't know. If he goes there, he goes there, and more power to him, I guess. I have a hard time believing that New England's going to pay what he's going to want, but, you know, weird things have happened, so.
Well, and let me tell you this. I agree with you. I think they can be stingy, but if they win another Super Bowl and they're willing to sign him, I think that's something. I think Albert Wilson is driven to succeed. I think his stay in Kansas City has showed us that. And I think it's something that he would play for a Super Bowl champion for less money, maybe even drastically less money. One guy that I don't think is going to get interest from that particular club is another guy that I'm not sure comes back. A number of free agents. One, I'm going to be watching the D lines in this Senior Bowl quite closely, because I'm not sure Benny Logan is worth what they paid him in the $8 million level, and I'm not sure that he doesn't get something more from another team.
Well, I honestly, after watching what he was able to do and seeing him be limited in practice all season, I have a hard time believing he's going to get more than that. But I suppose it's possible. You know, who knows what the value, what the market's going to be for him. I do think that he goes somewhere else, because I don't think they're going to bring him back, because I think he's going to want more money than they're going to want to offer him. But, you know, that's probably going to be okay as well, because, one, I didn't think he played as well as I was hoping he was going to, and two, like I said, when you get to his age and you're starting to miss practices, that just kind of rings up Tom Hawley for me, and I really don't want to go down that road.
Well, and don't get us wrong, folks. I think both of us appreciate what Benny Logan was able to do, because it's a tough role. But like you said, as you get older and you start to miss practices because of physical ailments, he's a guy not unlike on Dontari Poe that is not somebody you want to invest future in down the line. Not to harp on him too much. I think $8 million was overpaid, but I think he was worth $6, $6.5, maybe even $7. So I think he put in valuable time, and I agree. I just don't think that he comes back. You know, I think CJ Spiller has a good 6 or 7 more signings in him, so I think he comes back. you know, we have some other D linemen. Jarvis Jenkins, I think, played some valuable snaps at times. Is he somebody you'd like to see back?
Maybe for a reduced role. Well, I guess he can't really get much more reduced than his role was.
Right.
But not at an expensive level, no.
Okay, fair enough. You know, he made, what was it? 825 this year. So I got to think something around a million, and he's back. The guy that I think they have to invest in is R&R. Rakeem Nunez-Roches had probably not the season everyone wanted him to have, but economically at $570,000, I thought he was probably the best value on that defensive front. And I think he's somebody they can make an investment in. And because of his drive and his outspoken will to want to win, I think that's somebody that's a safe investment. I'd like to see them bring him back, you know, maybe even if it's 3, 4, or 5.
Well, but isn't he a restricted free agent?
He okay. is.
So more than likely, I don't think it's going to be one of those things. I think they're going to bring him back on a one-year deal, give him a tender, and they won't give him a long-term deal this year.
Okay, fair enough.
I would like to see him get a long-term deal just because I think I like what he could bring to this team long-term, and I think that he's going to have a better year next year than he had this year. So it'd be better to sign him this year than it would to wait. But
that's exactly what I'm thinking.
I don't know that Kansas City feels that way. And, you know, although we saw how bad their run defense was without him.
True. I mean, there's injuries caught up with this team more so than I think we expected. Yep.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you look at, you know, we have guys that we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks. You know, is Alan Bailey back? If Alan Bailey's not back, you know, maybe you have a little bit more money and maybe you do sign him long term. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a addition by subtraction. I think that's a loss because I like what Alan Bailey still brings to this team.
I agree with you. Again, I think at his salary level, he's probably just not producing enough because of the position that he plays. So I do worry that he might be a cap casualty, or at least asked to renegotiate. One guy that I don't think will be asked to renegotiate is Philip Gaines. I think his time at Kansas City is over. He is an unrestricted free agent, as is Steve Terrell, as is Kenneth Acker. So this cornerback group, I think they're going to lose all of them. I'd like to see Terrell come back. I thought at safety, I thought he played some good snaps when they needed him most. But I don't think Gaines is somebody that they want to invest any more money in.
Well, you could say you can think that and I can think that, but whether or not they think that is really what's going to end up mattering. And for some reason, Philip Gaines still saw playing time at times this season. So, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think that he comes back, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does. As far as, you know, Kenneth Acker goes, I don't think that's really a big deal. And I would like to see Terrell back as well. So I think that's a guy I would like to see come back.
Obviously there are targets and there are targets. Most of them are going to be on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think you're going to get Zach Fulton back. We've talked about that before. We don't need to go over it again. But he's really the offensive guy that you're really going to invest in. I think they probably bring Tyler Bray back on the offensive side for, you know, a really light contract just to say that they have a guy who knows the system. I feel bad for the way he got his first snaps, but, you know, maybe there's still growth that can happen there. I don't know. On the defensive side, I think that's really what's going to be the kicker. And that's, I think they want to sign Kevin Pierre-Louis. I think that's something that draft-wise we have to keep an eye on, though. If they don't get that done soon, before, you know, obviously before free agency, but fairly even sooner before that, then we know that they have that they're going to continue scouting inside linebackers, and that changes the focus of what they can do in the draft. There's a deep group at inside linebacker in this draft class. So I think the fate of Kevin Pierre-Louis is something that we need to keep an eye on pretty closely.
Yeah, but I think that they re-sign him. I think that they see him as their future at inside linebacker. And so I think that he's definitely going to be back. You know, I would be surprised if he's not, but who knows what they're going to end up having to pay him. And I also think that his value to this team is more than what we've actually seen, because I think he's still getting acclimated to the defense and he will be more in a full-time role if he comes back next year.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. We've talked about the DJ's prospects for the future. Definitely, I would see KPL as the starter there with Derek in relief, if that's the way it happens. If not, I mean, still, I don't want to talk about PFF grades, but there are still some holes in KPL's game. So I just don't know how the staff sees his final film review and if they're going to agree with what we're seeing. So don't rule it out that inside linebacker may be in need in this draft season.
We will see. I'm not sure what to expect from them going into this free agency period. There's so many free agents that they have that they got to make decisions on.
Yeah. They have restricted free agents as well. Like you said, probably tender is going to go out to most of those guys. Both Ramique Wilson and Terrence Smith at the ILB, as well as Terrence Mitchell at corner. An up and down season for him. I'll be very interested to see what they tender him at if they do.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if they let Ramique Wilson go, but we will see.
No. Well, that's it for us today, folks. Like I said, we'll be back. We have a couple of things to talk about tomorrow. Wednesday, it's looking like it's going to be Matt Miller. We're going to talk with Seth as well this week. So please keep it tuned. Let everybody you know about what's going on. The Matt Miller talk, you guys are going to love. Great information there. And it's going to have an effect on the future of this franchise. Make sure you're subscribed. iTunes, Stitcher, right through Megaphone, whatever y'all like. But hit those up. And thanks for listening to us today. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter at Ryan Tracy NFL and at Chris Clark NFL. We'll talk to you next time.